Hey guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic, famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere, nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. Goldbelly ships Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. So, if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's goldbelly.com, promo code GIFT.
Hannah Murray, TRE, in the afternoon.
Good afternoon. Joining us on the line is Rhonda Lauritsen. She is the author of A Child in Berlin, the poignant story of Heidi Posnian and her mother during the fall of Germany. The book shares Heidi's remarkable survival in a bombed out apartment during the final weeks of the war. She lived alone at just 9 years old. Welcome to the show, Rhonda.
Thank you, Hannah Murray.
Oh, thank you very much for joining us. I want to ask, first of all, how Heidi is, because she was going to join us on the call today, but I know she hasn't been very well. Is she okay?
She's okay. She's on the mend. She is 89 years old. And in general, right now, she's living her best life. We're doing interviews and she's telling her story so bravely. But we did a bookstore event and she picked up a bit of a cold.
Well, please pass on our regards.
She's doing better. I certainly will. She wanted to be with us, but I'm not going to drag her out in the winter while she has a cold.
No, of course, of course. So tell me how you met Heidi, how you came across her incredible story.
Well, I am a biographer and I do mostly family business stories and local histories. But I met Heidi through a former client, and this woman, Norma, said, "I have a friend and I think you need to meet her." And at the time, I didn't really have capacity to take on another client. And I certainly felt woefully unqualified at the time to do a World War II story set in Berlin. So I thought we'd just do a little project. But as we got going into it, her story was so remarkable that I felt it needed to be published. And we spent 5 years working on it.
Gosh, amazing. Yeah, her story isn't a little story, is it? It really is incredible.
It is incredible. And I mean, Heidi was an eyewitness. We're coming up on the 80th anniversary of the fall of Berlin, which ended war in Europe. And she was there. She was living just a couple of kilometers from Hitler's bunker and grew up in Berlin during the entire war. So at this time, she's one of the few eyewitnesses remaining who was young enough to still be living, but old enough to remember.
Yeah. Gosh. And her mother, Kathy, was a rising star in Germany's opera scene, wasn't she?
She was. Her mother was just a remarkable figure. I think of her like a heroine in any great novel. She was beautiful and statuesque and talented. And yet she was Polish ethnically, and she ended up being recruited into Berlin for the state opera, learned later that her place in the opera was made available when they kicked all of the Jewish singers out. And that was a real moment for her, as, you know, she was young and up and coming and everything seemed great in Berlin. And then she started to see what was really happening and she had to make some really tough choices.
Yeah. And she was at a party presented by Adolf Hitler, wasn't she?
Oh, my goodness. Hannah, I when Heidi was telling me her story bit by bit, she didn't give me any spoilers. She sort of told me in time. And when she let this drop that her mother attended a dinner party presided by Hitler, I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Her mother met Adolf Hitler. And, you know, at the time, you can imagine she's young and she was dating this handsome Wehrmacht officer and everything seemed great. But at around that time, she started to see that people were getting hauled away out of her building. And, you know, she was flattered to be there, but she ended up having to leave Nazi society. She just could not participate in what was happening.
No, it makes you wonder, doesn't it, how much this must have gone on while the atrocities were happening. There must have been lots of people for a while, for a certain amount of time, that didn't realise what was going on. If they weren't directly affected by it, they may not have known.
You know, Hannah, that's one of the big questions that people asked after the war. We ask now, how much did they know and when did they know it? And Berlin was sort of interesting because it was this juxtaposition of, it was the Nazi seat of power. And so you have Hitler's 50th birthday party parade in the streets and all of the show of might of the Nazi government. And yet Berlin was a more cosmopolitan city. It was a city of artists and intellectuals, and it was actually the least Nazified of any part of Germany. And so Käthe and her friends were much more liberal. They were much more ethnically diverse. Her friends were Polish and Jewish. And so she saw a lot more than most. You know, at the end of the war in Germany, the refrain was, "We didn't know, we didn't know." And there were others that said, "Oh, what rubbish. I mean, we had to know." They saw, Heidi herself remembers seeing people being hauled away in trucks. The Romanis, or, you know, at the time they called them gypsies, in her building were hauled away as well. She witnessed terrible things. A little boy with a disability who was basically killed in the hospital. So they saw what was happening, and her mother chose to leave Nazi society and participate in the underground and helped a lot of people.
Wow, amazing. So tell us more about Heidi's experience. I mentioned in the introduction she lived alone at 9 years old. How did that happen?
Without giving away any spoilers, you know, her mother became involved in the underground and black market, just trading of food and fabric and other things that many people were involved in. But as she had Jewish friends, she ended up helping people. And a knock came on the door one day, the Gestapo, and one thing led to another, and Heidi ended up alone. And this was during the final weeks of the war. So by then, Berlin was just a moonscape of rubble. And her apartment was bombed out. The windows were blasted out. She didn't make it to the shelter one night and watched the city burn. And at 9 years old, she fended for herself. Just the moxie and resilience of this little girl is remarkable.
Yeah, absolutely incredible. So did she have any friends that she could team up with? How long was she on her own for?
She was on her own somewhere probably about the late January of 1945 through right before the end of the war. And she did have friends. Her mother had, since she was involved in the black market, had stored away little packets of beans and other food. And so Heidi would go to neighbors and she would bring a little packet of food, and these neighbors would combine what they had and what she had, and they would cook up a meal. And so Heidi would eat with friends. She was Catholic, and so she was attending church services. And the church, there were people that wanted her to come and stay with them. And Heidi said, "My mother told me to stay here. My mother told me that I would, this is where to be when the war ends." And Heidi just always believed that her mother was coming back. And so she stayed put.
Oh, gosh. So how and when did Heidi get out of Germany?
So again, without giving any spoilers, they ended up being in the communist sector. And so they rebuilt a life in the years following the war. In many ways, 1945 and 46 after the war in Europe was called zero hour, just absolute rebuilding from the rubble. And it was even harder than before, especially when the Russians came in to Germany. That was a terrible period in Berlin. But she was in Berlin and ended up getting out really just in time. They saw the signs of what was happening with the communists and how they were cracking down on everything. The communists wanted them to sort of spy on their neighbors, and they said, we need to get out. And so ended up leaving the life they were rebuilding with nothing but the clothes on their backs and escaped into the American sector in 1949, just as the world was entering the 50s.
Gosh. And I mean, incredibly, despite the immense hardship that she's obviously endured in her lifetime, including outliving her husband and children, she really has a lot of gratitude and is a happy woman.
Oh, Hannah, that's why I wish she could have been here today, because this book, readers are telling us first that they can't put it down. They have to know what happens to this little girl, and they're crying and experiencing some of the joys of childhood as well. But this book is just wringing it out of people because it's so real through her eyes. But what makes it bearable is we see Heidi today. She is so full of light. And I just can't begin to tell you what a joy she has been in my life. Just being around her, she is wise, she's funny, she's witty, and yes, so full of gratitude for everything, for hot meals, a warm home, friendship, safety, freedom. She's just an absolute inspiration.
I was going to say, I mean, you know, we've all been through tough times in our lives, and we've all met people who feel like, you know, the world is against them. But to hear the stories of what Heidi's been through and to know that she is a positive person who's had and is still continuing to have a lot of love and joy in her life really is an inspiration, isn't it?
Oh, it sure is. And Hannah, we should all be so fortunate and brave as Heidi at age 89. These stories have been hard for her to tell. You know, you may know survivors in England and in other parts of Europe who just couldn't bring themselves to talk about it.
Yeah.
Because the trauma was too deep and there was so much silence. And yet Heidi decided that she would tell the story because she believed it was important for our day. And so she's doing media interviews at 89 and, you know, doing public appearances and really spreading light in this crazy mixed up world.
Yeah. Oh, amazing. And has she been enjoying doing the interviews and getting feedback from people?
She has been, you know, she is like her mother, kind of a star. You know, she modeled for 30 years. But recently she's been living a very quiet life in a little farmhouse and kind of tucked away. And I want to tell you a really touching moment between me and her. When we did our first library event, she said, you know, I've outlived everybody. And I kind of thought that when I died, there wouldn't be anybody even left to come to the funeral. I thought, why even have a funeral? And we had this event and the whole town came. It was standing room only. And she sparkled. And she said, you know, I guess now we can have a funeral. I know people will come.
Oh, that's so beautiful. Bless her.
Isn't it?
Oh, how wonderful. And I love how this must have been an enriching experience for both of you. She's obviously got so much out of this, but as have you. You know, it's not just like you've met this woman, you've written the book and moving on to the next project. She and the writing of this book has had a big positive effect on you, which is great.
Oh, Hannah, I can't begin to tell you what the profound change she's had on my life. The perspective. I will forever be changed because of this story and because of her and my friendship with her. She's very dear to me. We're very close and will be as long as however much time we get. And, you know, and another just personal story. I spent so much time working on this just as a labor of love because I felt it mattered. And one day driving home from her house after a long afternoon, I thought, you know, why else are we here on earth? You know, but to love each other and to tell our stories and to see and be seen and listen and be heard. That's what it's all about, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Well, it's been really great to have you with us on the show, Rhonda Lauritsen. Thank you very much for joining us. And if listeners want to get a copy of A Child in Berlin, the poignant story of Heidi Posnian and her mother during the fall of Germany, it's available on our website, tre.radio. Rhonda, thank you. And please give our love to Heidi.
I shall. Thank you so much.
Hey, guys. Have you heard of Goldbelly? It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic, famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere, nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. Goldbelly ships Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. So, if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's goldbelly.com, promo code GIFT.